Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our reading today comes from John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, it was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and in the light was the life of men. And in the light shines the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world didn't know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and the truth.
Wow, thank you for your words, and thank you that Jesus is the Word of life, the giver of all life, the hope in which you can put our trust in, Father. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for your great and wonderful plan, Father. And so this morning, Lord God, as we set our eyes on you, as we come before you this morning, Father, attune our ears to you this morning, Father. May you speak to each and every one of us. May you have your way in each and every one of us. And thank you for what we're learning through your word. In Jesus' name. So today we're starting our new series this morning of Christmas Unwrapped. Okay, and so we're going to be unwrapping the real meaning behind Christmas. Beginning with logos, right? This word logos, which is the Greek word for the written word of God. So the title of our message this morning is Logos, the Word Become Flesh. The Word Become Flesh. Okay, question. What does Christmas look like to you? What does Christmas look like to you? Holiday. Yes, holiday. Holiday is good. Yeah. What about this image here? You know, right? Yes. I'm a bit of a food guy. I like the bottom left hand corner here. That's me. Food, right? But you know, Christmas is unique to everyone, right? In terms of what we do, how we spend that time, how we spend our resources over that period. And you know, for some, it's about having a trip, going to some island, secluded island by yourself, maybe with your wife, you know, or it may be about, you know, maybe it's about buying gifts, you know, you're a bit of a gadget junkie, you're buying the latest gifts for yourself, whether it's the latest Samsung phone, or the other one, what's the other one, I don't know what the other one is, but, you know, one of those devices, right, or you know, or the food thing, you know, right? Like for our family, we used to like get together and everyone used to like bring your best food, bring your favorite plate, right? And so it's the best time to put on the calories, right? So that's why I was thinking about, you know, the old year resolution. See, if you lose the weight on Christmas Day, you've got that space, you put it back on, right? Okay, and so, you know, these are some of the images of what it looks like, what Christmas can look like to some people, right? Like for me growing up, Christmas for me looked like this, okay? It was about church. Because my parents, they were part of a Sunday morning church back in Newton. So where I grew up, Christmas was about midnight services. Yes, midnight services. And so going there and having service together, and then, like good Sunday mornings do, you have a feast after midnight, you know? It's about hanging out with your family and your friends. And like, that's what I remember about bombarded from around, around October. It's getting earlier and earlier, right? In terms of sales, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, prepare for Christmas today, right? It's this push for consumers to get ready now, to buy those gifts, right? Plan that trip. Get that tree up. Get the lights up on the house, right? Organize the family. Organize your friends. Where are we going for Christmas Day? Okay, what are we taking? Who are we going with? What are we wearing? What food are we going to eat? Right? It's all about preparing all that stuff for what's going to happen on Christmas Day. And it seems like there is this hectic rush to get things prepared for the day that we miss the real purpose for the season. Busyness and noise can consume our minds to the point that we never truly take time to think about Jesus until we have done all that we need to do, all that we need to do to prepare for Christmas. We get busy with the preparation of the day that we forget the person of the day. And the person of the day is Jesus Christ, right? In the Christian calendar, this is a season of Advent. And Advent is like a 4-week period leading up to Christmas. And so it celebrates the anticipation of the coming of Jesus Christ. And now, we know that Christmas Day isn't the actual birthday of Jesus Christ. But the fact that the day has been set aside, the fact that the day has been set apart to remember and celebrate Jesus Christ is something that is pretty significant, right? But the consumeristic noise is getting louder and louder. And it is setting this distracting, like a smoke screen, over the real meaning of Christmas. And so as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to be intentional in remembering and celebrating the season. Otherwise, we too can get caught up in the consumeristic noise. Getting caught up in buying the gifts when we don't actually recognize the real gift of Christ that is sitting before us. One way that we as a church are wanting to support and provide an environment for our church to be able to focus on God through this period is that we have a podcast, right? The Debug podcast. And it's on our Aeration Brisbane podcast page. And so we're going through this Advent theme of the names of Jesus at the moment. And it's like these 3 to 4 minute little short snippets of how to focus in on God, how to focus in on Jesus, how to focus on a bit of passage. And it's done by from the likes of people like, our very own Steve, Bianca, Mike, and Samantha, Sammy from Central. And so, this is a great opportunity to be able to help us, remind us of what Christmas is about, of what Jesus did for us. And so, I encourage you, if you haven't had a chance to have a listen to our podcast, check it out. Aeration Brisbane podcast. Is that okay? That's the plug for the podcast, right? Okay, so John's Gospel. It's written by the Apostle John. And one of the early disciples that Jesus called, along with his brother James. And these two brothers had the nickname of the Sons of Thunder. Right? The Sons of Thunder. I think they were related to Thor. Okay? And so James and John, they were fishers. They were in the fishing business, along with Peter. And we know that John's father was Zebedee. His mother was Salome, who was a faithful follower of Jesus. She was one of the first women to turn up at the tomb of Jesus, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mary Magdalene. So she's known as this very significant woman from the Bible. John's Gospel is different from the other three Gospels in that Matthew, Mark, and Luke. These three focus on what Jesus did and what Jesus taught. But John comes from the perspective of who Jesus is And this is very clear right from the beginning, right? So if we read John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, okay, this is where I'm going to need you to help me out here. Okay? If you can read that passage behind me, okay? Let's read together.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made.
So right from the beginning, John is seeing this presence, he's seeing this standard right from the beginning. Before anything was, the Word already existed. The Word existed even before creation. So we hear echoes, right? These echoes of Genesis in the beginning, right? If we think about Genesis 1:1, the first three words are in the beginning, and then God created. And so in these verses, there is this establishment of God's order, God's authority, and God's purpose. John is intending to capture our attention by setting this pinnacle scene of a story right from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's like that moment when you're watching a game of your favorite team that's in a massive stadium. A couple of years ago, me and my family, we got to go down to down in the Gold Coast to watch the All Blacks play South Africa down in the Gold Coast Stadium. And there's this moment where the teams usually come out earlier in their training years and they warm up. The whole field is very much cheering now. And then they go back into the change room and then they get changed into their game gear. Right? So just before, as the teams come out, there's this anticipation. Right? There's this waiting for the teams to come through the underneath the stage. They come from underneath the stadium, right? And so, as the first phase begins to come out, start running onto the field, you can hear the crowd start. And it's like rising, right? It's like building the excitement of the people that get excited as they begin to see some of their players come out onto the field. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John is setting an anchor point to draw us into the story. He's defining the start of all things, even before it all started. And it starts with God. It starts with the Word. And it started in the beginning. The Word, used here is this Greek word logos, right? Which is translated as the written Word. Now, when we're talking about words that come from God, they're either rhema, which is the revealed Word of God, or it's logos, which is the written Word of God. But logos is so much more than just the written Word of God. And this is what John is about to unpack for his readers. So if you think about this today, you know, we have devices and keyboards with virtual and mice with virtual keyboards that allow us to write or type in, right, our words. But back in the biblical times, it was all handwritten, but it's scrolls, on scrolls and ink. And it's nothing like the paper that we get today, nothing like this fancy paper we have today. It's way different. And so the person writing those words would be anchored in the authority of that written word. And so when you use the word logos, you're actually saying the authority, the rulership of someone or something that is authoring the way in which you process your thoughts, the way in which you make decisions, the way in which you live your life. Whether you know it or not, you are in a battle. I'm in a battle. You're in a battle. We're in a battle. And the space where that battle is happening is in between your ears. Right here. This is where the battle's happening. It's in our mind. It's in the thoughts we have. each and every day. That space in between your ears is the most fought after territory in every person's life. Because it's where destiny can be changed for the better or for worse. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 to 5. Hey, can I get you to read this part? Is that right? Can I get you to read this? Yes, sir. The battle that we're fighting is fought with the thoughts of our mind. The battle that we're fighting is fought with the thoughts of our mind. So it's really important that we are to know and are intentional about what are we feeding our mind. What are we reading with our eyes? What logos, what authority, what rulership are we allowing into our minds to process and dictate our thoughts and the direction of our life? The passage says that we are to take every thought captive to obey Christ. Here's another way to put it. Guard your mind. Everybody say, guard your mind.
Guard your mind.
We can guard our minds against anything that is opposite or not in alignment with the Word of God. The Logos, the authority, the rulership of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word as rule and reason. When the authority of our life is centered on the Logos, it is centered on Jesus. Because Jesus is the Logos, He's the authority, He's the rulership, He is the reason and the standard by which we live our lives. So, who is your Logos? Who is your authority? Who is your ruler? Who is your reason for how you live your life? When we understand that this life is not about us, it's about Christ in us, then our thoughts should naturally, hopefully naturally, lean towards living a life that honors and pleases the authority of Jesus. We go back to our verse today, verses 4 to 5. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. In him, in the Logos, in the Word, in Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word is the source of all life. It's not just the biological life, but the very principle of the life, the very principle of life, including our spiritual life. The light shines in the darkness. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the Word. The purpose of life is to shine in the darkness. Jesus entered into this dark world to be that light in the darkness, to overcome the darkness that has overcome the world. He came to bring healing. He came to bring freedom. He came to restore our relationship with God the Father. And when we think about life, we can sometimes think that it's just for the purpose of illuminating something, right? But the truth about light is that it reveals as well. It reveals to the point that it can be offensive at times. I think about the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. It's told in John chapter 8. See the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they bring this woman. Bring her. And they throw it in front of Jesus. And they say to Jesus, Jesus, the law of Moses said that any woman that is caught in the act of adultery, that has to be stoned to death. What do you say about that? Jesus is like, and he just stoops down. And as he's stooping down, he's lying in the dust on the ground. He's crying stuff. And the Pharisees, they got up getting irritated with her. Jesus, what do you say about this? One observation that I want to make is like, Where's the lie? What? Where's the man in this? Who does she commit this sin with? Like, it's just, you don't hear of him being there. It's just the woman. It's just the woman that's being judged here. And so, I don't know why it's like that, but it takes two to tango, right? And so where is the guy? And I love Jesus' response. He says this, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. And he Jesus stoops back down again. He begins to light. The light exposes the darkness. Jesus brought the light of truth into every situation. We too have choices in our own life, in our everyday life, where we can be the light in those situations. If we choose, if there's a disagreement that's happening in your house, do we take a specific side? Do we side with someone? Do we side with a particular group? Or do we look for the justice in that situation? Do we see what God is wanting to do in that situation, or we're just trying to please others around us? Being the light means that it can be offensive to some people sometimes. So we need to be secure in who we are in Jesus. What is your logos? What authority are you following? Are you following the light of Jesus, or are you following the light of man? Are you pleasing man? Are you being loyal just to man? John chapter 1, there's 3 verses, 11 to 14 there. I didn't get your help on that piece of mind. Can you read that verse? The verses, please.
He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh.
God came to this world. God came to this world that He created, to the very creatures that are made in His image. They didn't receive Him. They didn't recognize Him. And this is the honest reflection of how far the world has fallen. The darkness to which the world has fallen to, that they don't even recognize their creator. They don't even recognize who made them, where they came from. And this still happens today. When we get to share the gospel with people, we will come across people that will reject the word of God. We will come across people that will reject Jesus. But the passage here encourages us, but to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. It is to be expected that some will reject God. But for those that receive God, they get the right to become children of God. And they become children of God by being born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Logos, the Word, this is God. This is Jesus becoming flesh. This is Jesus becoming human and making his home among us. This is Emmanuel, who is God that is with us. He lived among us. He walked among us. He dwelt with us. He knows pain. He knows betrayal. He knows struggle. He knows the challenges that people walk through. But He is also God Almighty. He is also God All-Powerful. He is also God All-Knowing. He is the Creator of heaven and earth. This is our God. This is the Logos. This is the Word. This is Jesus become flesh. Our life is never complete until we begin to walk with God. way that we think is right in our own lives, right? But if they're not found in or built on the character of Jesus, the life of Jesus, then it may be just our own logos that we're centering our life on, right? It may be our own standard that we're measuring our life against. Instead of the standard of Jesus Christ. It may be our own light that we're focusing our life on instead of the light of Jesus Christ. So the question that we need to come back to is, who is your light anchor? Who is your light anchor? And is it in the Logos? Is it in the Word? Is it in Jesus? Is your life anchored in what you know, in what skills you have, in what you can do, in how you dress, in how you look? Or maybe your life is anchored in your work. We just finished reading this book as a start called The Deeply Formed Life from Rich Belotus. And in one of the chapters, he talks about how we're to see our workplaces, right, as the primary place for spiritual growth to happen in the area of our mission reporting, right? He says that some people run into the problem of finding their identity in their work. Now watch this. So who they are is based on what they do. Who they are is based on what they do. I like this quote. He says, spiritually speaking, this is a dangerous approach because our identities are rooted in something that can't give us what God, what only God can. You might say only God can.
Only God can.
You know, things in our life that, that only God can fill. And one of them is our identity. Who we are. Who we are in. Right. When you think of a, if you get something new, you're not sure. Say a new TV. Let's talk about a new TV. You get a new TV. You go to the instruction manual, right, to find out what how it works, how to put it together, how to use it properly, right? Because you know that that's come from the designer, the person who made it, right? And so you go to that manual to know who. What it's for, what its original purpose is for. For us, our original purpose is found in the Word of God. It's found in God, it's found in Jesus. And so in order for us to know what our calling is, what we're called to do in this world, we've got to read the manual. We've got to read the Bible and find out what is it that God is placing on this planet, on this time, in this particular time. What has he called me to do? How does he want me to use my life? You know, sometimes I'm the other time you will like do something and then I'll read the instruction manual after. Anyone else like that? Yep, maybe you want to see. What are you doing? Oh, I'm here. Yes. But right, no, we try and figure it out ourselves. We try and argue about it. I think I need to do this. I think I need to be with this person. I think I need to be in this job. I think I need to look like this. Right? Have you read the instruction manual? Have you read the Bible? What does it say about you? It says you are wonderfully and fearfully made in the image and glory of God. Exactly the way you are, that's exactly the way God created you. Right? That's exactly God created you to be. Our anchor needs to be in God. It needs to be in Jesus. It needs to be in His Word. As children of God, we do not walk in darkness. We are not led by the lusts of this world. As children of God, we walk in the light of in the light. Walk in the light because Jesus Christ is the light. As children of God, we walk in the truth because Jesus Christ is the truth. Right? As children of God, we walk in love because Jesus Christ is love. Our anchor needs to be in God. It needs to be in the Word. It needs to be in the Logos. It needs to be in Jesus Christ. The way that John starts his gospel by saying right from the beginning, the standard, the authority, the understanding, the lens with which we are to look through his account of Jesus' life and who Jesus is, to see Jesus as the Word, to see Jesus as the Logos, the authority, the ruler, the reason for which we are to live our life. This should begin to form and shape the very foundation of our view of Jesus Christ as our Lord, as our Savior, as our King, and as our God. And it's not just at Christmas time, too. But more so at Christmas time. And even more so every other day of the week. So here's our Christian discussion today. He has come down to receive you. Jesus, the Word, Logos. So will you come close to receive him? Will you check your life? Will you pause in what you're trying to do and come close? You just come to a place of where you want to hear from, want to know what it is that he's wanting to reveal to you about your life. That Christ wants to do in you, through your family, through your workplace, through your school, wherever it is that he places you. You want to come close to. So, I'll give you a time of 3 minutes to have a discussion with people next week. Is that alright? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that your son Jesus is the Logos, is the Word, was there in the beginning of God, with you, creating this world. Father, we thank you that your word is revelation, your word is life, it is a guide for us and how we have to live our lives today. Lord, you know every incident detail about every person in here. You know where we stand with you. You know the challenges and difficulties that we all face, Lord God. So right now, Lord God, I stand here with my brothers and sisters here in this room, Lord God, and I ask, Father, that you would help us, that you would speak to us, show us, Lord God, things, areas in our life, Lord God, that you are wanting to be brought under the rightful authority of you, Lord God. Whether it's attitude, whether it's behaviors, whether it's mindsets, Lord God, I pray right now, Lord God, that you would help us, Lord God, to come under the authority, to come under the authorship, to come under the guidance of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Father, even in the midst of this season of being bombarded and going through preparing for Christmas, Lord, yes, that this is where you've placed us, Lord, but help us to stay focused on you. Help us to remember the reason for this season, Lord God. It is your Son, Jesus Christ. And so today, Lord God, help us, Lord God, show us how are we supposed to walk this out in our life today. One of the things and areas in our lives, Lord God, that we are to lay before you today, that you would have your way, that you would touch it with your grace and your mercy, Lord God, and show us through your loving wisdom, Lord, what it is that you want to speak to us. So, Father, I commit to you every person, every family, Lord, for every person, Father, Lord. Help us, Lord God, to draw closer to you in peace and thank your Son.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.